with a shot?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think if I make it, it still doesn't count because we already had this one.
What? We did?
And we were gone?
Yeah, you guys made
it. Yeah, didn't we have them like the first week of this month?
I'm making it too much now. I'm exceeding our limits.
Exactly. We need the donuts.
Well, we'll have to start charging you guys. You're gonna put Thrive Junior High out of business. We're gonna have to start charging you for donuts. Yeah, we're gonna be in donut debt.
That's scary.
And then Mr. T's gonna come hunt us down.
And you're gonna go to T jail.
Ooh, I am getting better. I might. Whew.
You made it. You're gonna go to T jail.
That was pretty close. All right, grab your Bibles. Turn to 3 John.
Well, it's actually
good.
Good job,
coach. Yeah, good job, coach.
Wait a second.
No, grab a seat in the gray chairs. Oh, man.
Donuts?
14%? Donuts? No. No.
Now that I get donuts?
Donuts? Huh? 3 John. Kenneth, grab a seat in the gray chairs. 3 John, verse 11. We're continuing to whom it may concern. Little, like a letter. Written like a letter. Yes, sir. Because there's the Gospel of John. John, 1 John. Same John, yeah. Yeah. Well, because the full name of the 1 John is technically the Gospel of John, where these are technically the Epistles of John. So, epistles, it means letter.
Apostle?
Epistle. No. Epistle.
It's an epistle.
Epistle. Epistle. Okay, let's stand on our feet. We're going to read verse 11, just one verse. You guys tired, huh? Yeah? I'm tired too, but we'll push through it. Okay. What are you doing, Sam? Okay. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we are able to come together and study your word. We ask that you would reveal something new to us, even though we have spent so much time in your word. We've learned so many different things about you. We pray that you would teach us something new, and we know that there's always more to learn about you. So I ask that you'd fill me with your spirit to speak your word, and that we would all just grow deeper in you, deeper in our understanding of you, and deeper in our love for you. And we pray all of this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Take a seat, everybody. Okay, so I'm going to blow your mind here. Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Just kidding. So we as humans are always imitating something. It's the way we're wired. I can't even speak. It's the way that we're wired. It's the way that we're made. We are always imitating. It's human nature. We're natural born imitators. And we see this all over the place in romantic relationships. Like if a guy and girl start dating, or if a couple are married, you see them start to like have the same smile. And then they start, like their style starts to kind of come together. Like they start to dress, not the same, but their style like complements each other. And then they laugh at the same jokes. And it's like cute and romantic. And we're like, ew, gross. We see this in parents and children. You guys may not believe it, but you imitate your parents in some ways. Whether it's something they say, or something they like, something they don't like, something they, I don't know, something they do. You probably imitate them in a few different ways. It's just the way we're wired. We imitate people. Yeah, like best friends, you know how they always like, they laugh at the same things? They crack jokes the same way. They sometimes start to dress the same way. They're both into skating, and they practice the same tricks the same way, or they're both into, like, swimming, and they try to swim the same way, or whatever. Like, they try to beat each other swimming. We're natural imitators, and we don't even look at that like it's weird. It's just a normal thing. People trying to look cool at school, trying to be popular, they'll imitate the popular people so that they can fit in, so that they can be accepted into that popular group. And most of the time, it's just subconscious. We don't look and say, oh, I'm going to be just like that guy, or oh, I'm going to be just like that girl, or I'm going to be just like my mom, or just like my dad. It's just something we pick up on, because we maybe hear them say things a lot, we see them do things a lot, and we just imitate it. It's natural. It's something that is like rooted deep inside our mind that we really don't have a lot of control of. And this can be a really good thing, or it can be a really bad thing. Like, if you spend too much time with your dog, you might start barking and, like, scratching yourself, like, just kidding. But sometimes when I have a long beard, I'll get, like, the dog scratch going, because you just, that's what you gotta do. But I don't think it's because I'm imitating my dog. That would be weird. But when we spend a lot of time with people who are a good influence, it'll start to rub off and we'll start to imitate that. But if we spend a lot of time with people who are a bad influence, it'll start to rub off and we'll start to imitate that. And that's not a good thing. So, in case you have not guessed, today we're going to focus on imitating. And the title of this morning's message is, what are you imitating? It's a question. What are you imitating? And John tells us to do two things. He says, imitate what is good, and then he says, don't imitate what is evil. And specifically, he's talking about Diotrephes. That's who he looked at on Wednesday. He's the guy who was, like, eaten alive by the pride in his life. And John's like, don't be like him. Don't imitate him. Don't copy him. He is not the type of Christian that you want to look up to, because he was consumed by his pride. His pride took over him. But this goes beyond just Diotrephes, and it includes anything that is not in line with God's commands. When he says, do not imitate what is evil, he means do not imitate, don't copy anything that is not in line with God's commandments. He tells us why this is important in the last half of verse 11. He says, he who imitates good is really, truly of God, but he who imitates evil, he who copies evil, has not even experienced God. This is super important to us. Matthew 7, verse 20, Jesus says, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. So what this means is, just as a cherry tree, in season, we expect that cherry tree to do what? To produce cherries. But if it produced mangoes, we would be like, I'm pretty sure this cherry tree is not a cherry tree, but it's a mango tree, right? So we judge that tree not by the wood that it has or the leaves that it has, but we judge it by the fruit that it produces. And that's the same in the Christian life. We judge what a Christian is by their actions. So if in a Christian's life, what we really should see is them naturally no longer producing evil actions, and them naturally starting to produce good actions. Because then we look at that tree, and maybe it once produced, like, bad fruit. The Christian once produced evil actions. And then we see that this Christian is producing mangoes. And we go, oh, this Christian is a mango tree. This is a Christian. You know what I'm saying. You're picking up what I'm putting down. But so though it's mostly subconscious, what we imitate, there are some things in our lives that we can all examine, some things that we can change in our lives that will allow us to control who and what we imitate. So today our main focus, we're going to focus on three ways that we can determine who or what we're imitating. And if you're taking notes, you can jot these down. It's what we're going to focus on today. First, we're going to look at, what is your focus? What's your focus? Second, what's your passion? And not passion fruit. We're not talking about passion fruit. And then third, what is your standard? So focus, passion, and standard. What is yours for all three of those? So first, what is your focus? What's your focus? For our sake today, when I say focus, I mean the things we do most, or the things that we wish we could be doing most. So maybe we like have to go to school and stuff, but we wish we could be doing this the most. Basically, the thing that we're most interested in, the thing that most occupies our mind, most occupies our time. So this can be school, which, I mean, some people really want to be at school and really want to do school. It's just, I mean, hey, it's true. There are some people that like school. It can be Minecraft. Some of you Minecrafters, Clash of Clans. I'd rather be playing Clash of Clans. No. It can be a friendship. You just always want to hang out with that guy or hang out with that girl and like talk about what you talk about or do what you do all the time. It can be a relationship, like a romantic relationship where you're just wanting to spend every moment with him or you're wanting to spend every moment with her, every waking moment. It can be church. Church can become your focus where you just always want to be at church. I'd rather be at church. Let's go to church. I love church, 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 church. It can be Pokemon Go. Like, you go somewhere and you're just like Pokemon going all the time. Like, it's in your mind, Pokemon Go. It can be food. Some people just always want to eat. I'm kind of one of those people. Like, I would just always like to eat. Or I'd always like to be sipping on something sweet. Like a nice, sweet coffee or, like, juice. No, you can't sip on a, what, like Skittle juice? Do the schoolin' boys make candy juice too? Oh, no. No. It can be a movie, or it can be like movies. So maybe like your favorite movie, you're always watching it, or some TV show, you're always tuned in and ready right when it's about to start. Or it can be social media, always Facebooking or like Snapchatting, or I don't even know what's cool anymore. I can't keep up. Instagram? Instagram, doesn't Instagram do, what's it called, like stories now, like Snapchat does? Man, how do we keep up with all this? But yeah, social media can be your focus. Every waking moment you're like, I gotta check my feed, gotta check my Facebook, gotta make sure people are liking my stuff and disliking my stuff that I want them to dislike. You know how it is, that's just the way it is. In Colossians 3, verse 2, we are told to set our minds on things above and not on things of this earth. So what that means is God doesn't want our focus to be on things of this world. Yes, we can enjoy them. Yes, we can have fun with them. Yes, we can take pleasure in them. But they shouldn't be our focus. We shouldn't be every moment waiting to play that video game or every moment waiting to go skate with those friends or go play football or soccer or I don't know. What do you guys do with your friends? What's a common friend thing?
Playing Pokemon Go together.
Oh, no. Playing Pokemon Go together. Yeah. Ping pong. Ooh. Ping pong. You can go to the Olympics. Luke's going to be at the 2022 Olympics. When's the next Olympics? 20? 2020. Ooh, 2020 Olympics. Luke's gonna be there playing ping pong with his friends. No, Sam, don't say that. No. But there are so many things in this world that are trying to steal our attention, trying to take our focus, whether it's on our TV screens, on the screens of our phones, or on our tablets, or on, it can be clothes, it can be anything. Friends, family, art, sports, future, that we're just focused on. We're always looking to that thing. And God wants us to set our minds on things above. Set your mind on eternal things. Set your mind on your eternity in heaven. Set your mind on your relationship with Jesus. That's what he wants our focus to be. And then our second point is, what is your passion? This is pretty interesting. So the founder of Dropbox, do you guys know what that is? It's like you slide files into it, and then instead of the files being kept on your computer, it's kept on a cloud, and like you can access it through any computer or on your phone or on your iPad. Yeah? No? Well, it's called Dropbox, and it's pretty cool. It allows you to, like, you can make a video and then just put it on Dropbox, and then you can go to another computer and then just get it on Dropbox instead of actually sending it. So it's like a cloud of information stored on the internet instead of on your computer. It's pretty cool. But his name is Drew Houston. He's the founder of Dropbox. He said about passions, he said, "The most successful people are obsessed with solving an important problem, something that matters to them. They remind me of a dog chasing a tennis ball. Find your tennis ball, the thing that pulls you." So like a dog chasing a tennis ball, our passion is the thing that gets us going, the thing that pulls us. If I want to get my dog going, all I have to do, maybe it's not a tennis ball, but if I pull out her favorite toy and get it going crazy, she goes crazy. She will run 50 yards for whatever that thing is and go crazy for it. Maybe not a long time, but she will do it. She can be like dead asleep, and if I get that toy going, she will go crazy for it in a moment. And that is like us. That's our passion. That thing that pulls us. That thing that gets us going when we seem like we can't anymore. The thing that gets us out of bed in the morning. And it's different from our focus, because it's not what we do most or what we want to do most, but it's why we do what we do. It's the reason behind why we do what we do. It's that thing that when we feel like we can't go any further, we remind ourselves of that. Maybe it's the future, or maybe it's something important to us. It's that thing that when we're super tired, it gets us to put our feet out of the bed in the morning, and we keep going hard for it. For a lot of people, a passion is what makes them happy, or it's what allows them to make a difference in the world, or it's something that makes them feel safe. It makes them feel at home. When they're doing that, the world fades away, and they can just fully focus on their passion, on the thing that they're passionate about. And our passions, they can be a variety of things. It can be a good grade. So if your focus is school, your passion is that A++++. So you can get that like 4.5 and then go to Cal Berkeley and then be like the smartest man in the world, having graduated at the age of like 20. Yes, that is what the Candy Boys would do. That's the Candy Boys' passion. It is candy. It can be popularity and acceptance. You know, I'll do this just so people think I'm cool. I'll do this just so people accept me. So maybe it's so a family member accepts me, so a friend accepts me, so someone that I think is cool accepts me. It can be for love, and I don't mean like romantic love. It can be for like the affection of a family member, or for a feeling of love that maybe you never got from your parents, or that you didn't get from your brothers or sisters. So it can be for love, for that feeling to be cared. A passion can be a crush, you know, when your day's just not going well and things can't get together, you think of that one boy that you always have on your mind, or that one girl that you think is super cute, and it just keeps you going when you think you couldn't anymore, and you're like, one day we will be together forever.
I can still hear it.
Hey, it's real. Crushes are a real thing. It can be fame and fortune and your future. This is a real thing. I remember when I was learning guitar, do you know what kept me going when I didn't want to practice guitar anymore? I was like, one day I'm going to be famous, and I'm going to look back at all those moments I put playing guitar, all those singing lessons I took, and I'm going to be like, I wouldn't have been a famous millionaire without this. And, I mean, it wasn't ridiculous. I think if your dream is to be famous, dream big. Go for it. That was my dream at one point, that I was going to be like on K-Love writing worship music and stuff, and people would be like interviewing me, and I'd be like, no, I don't have time. I'm too busy writing music and stuff. Or our passions can be ourselves. You know, you just You do everything to keep yourself happy, to keep yourself content. When hard things come your way, when life just isn't seeming good, you're like, I need to treat myself. I need to go for a drive and buy some ice cream, or I need to go to my happy place and Facebook people and look for cat videos, because that will make me happy. So that's our passion, you know? It's that thing that keeps us going. It's the why behind our focuses. It's or the why behind our whys. Yeah, it's that fuel to our fire. That fuel to the fuego deep in our soul. It can be charity. It can be what you want to do when you grow up. It can be music. It can be sports. It can be muscles. Maybe your passion is to be buff, and you just keep going to be buff, or to be thin, or whatever, you know, whatever your passion is. So we see, what is our focus? Our focus is that thing we want to do most, or that we do the most. And then our passion is that reason why, why we put time into school, why we, when we seem like we can't go any further, why we do go a little further. And then that brings us to our last point. What is your standard? Now, standard can be a little confusing because, like, our English language has changed it into a lot of different things. But for our sake, the definition of standard, and what really the literal definition is the person or thing that you compare yourself to. So, we're like in the Olympics right now. Wait, they're over, huh? Are the Olympics fresh over, or is it like one more day? One more day? I feel like they're fresh over. They might be over today. Maybe they end today, or tomorrow. Pretty soon, though. But in the Olympics, when, like, so take diving. When, does anybody watch diving? I think it's so crazy. Like, they make, like, a double gainer, flippy flip flop, double twist, make twist double look easy. And they're like, oh, their form, they were a little slow on the double backflip, mid-twist, doobity-doop-doop-bop. Like, and I'm like, I can't even do a clean front flip, let alone, like, but yeah, okay, so. But in the Olympics, when they're doing a dive, or, like, in gymnastics, when they're doing, like, the, what's that thing called, the quad, where you, like, jump and flip off of it? Is it called the quad? Something like that. Where you like run in and then you hit the springboard and then flip off. It's the quad, right? Something like that. I forget what it's called. But so when somebody, the first person to get a pretty good score, what do we call what they did? We say they set the standard. So now it's like, if you want to get up there, that means you need to get a little better than what this person who's pretty good got. They set the standard. So they're not perfect, but it's like, if you want to compete with the big leagues, you need to be this good. So they set the standard. And we, today, we're looking at a moral standard, or a standard of what's good and what's wrong, like what's good and what's evil. Everyone sets a standard, and when they do it, they either set their standard ahead or they set it behind. Let me explain what I mean by that. So when you set a standard ahead, it's when you look to something or someone who's better than you at the task at hand. So if, like, your goal is to be an Olympic swimmer, then your standard would be Michael Phelps, right? Because he's like, he broke like ancient records, right? Yeah, like he's... yeah, legendary. Like, we probably won't see an Olympian like him ever again. Like, so if you're setting your standard ahead, it would be someone who's better than you, someone who you want to be like. You were like, if I do good, I'm going to do like that person, that guy, or that girl. And then we also set standards behind. So this is when you set a standard, and instead of looking ahead to someone or something that's better than you, you look behind to someone or something that's worse than you, and you kind of go, oh, thank God that I'm not like that person, or oh, I'm so glad that I'm not doing that, or that I'm not that bad at music, or that I'm not that bad at this sport. And so you set the standard behind you. So you look behind and say, that person's really bad, I'm a lot better where I'm at currently. And as Christians, let me just say this, we need to always be setting our standard ahead. We should never have standards that are behind us, because if we have standards that are behind us, we're simply not going to grow, because we're always going to look at someone who is worse in our life, someone who is not able to get their act together in life, and we're going to say, at least I'm not there, so at least I can be comfortable where I'm at currently. So we need to set our standards high and set them ahead. And as we continue to read through 3 John, we're going to see that it is perfectly fine to set godly Christian men and women who are mature and have a deep relationship with God. It's perfectly fine to set them as standards in our life, to say, I want to be like that person. I want to be as mature and as godly like, or as godly as that person. But even Jesus, in Mark 10, verse 18, he said, only God is truly good. So what that tells us is that the perfect standard, the standard that we should have when we set a standard ahead, the standard we should have is God. Because he is that standard that no matter what we do, no matter how deep our relationship with God goes, we will always need more. We will always need to try harder. We will always need to keep growing, keep going for God. And so God needs to be our standard. And then Jesus, like we can say, but how do I live like God? How do I strive to be like God? How do I have that standard in my life? We look to the life of Jesus, because Jesus showed us how to do it every day. Jesus woke up early in the morning to spend time with God. Jesus stayed up super late to spend time with God. Jesus studied his Bible like it was going out of style. Like, he put all that he could into growing deeper in his relationship with God. And he was God. So how much more should we as Christians be striving for that standard of godliness? As we come to a close, you might notice a common thread in our focus and in our passion and in our standard, that God should really take over every aspect of our lives as Christians. And that sounds kind of extreme, really? Like, God should take over every single aspect? Yes! That is exactly right. That is exactly what God wants. What we focus on is what we will imitate. So if you watch a movie too much, you're probably going to start quoting that movie everywhere you go. So like me in Lego Movie, I can see anything that happens and I'm like, oh, Lego Movie quote, because that is such a good movie and I watch it too much. But if we focus on God's Word, you're going to start remembering in every situation of your life, you're going to start remembering scripture that applies to that situation. If you're passionate about popularity, you're passionate about acceptance, you'll say or do whatever you need to in order to be accepted, in order to be cool. But if you're passionate about Jesus, you'll start saying or doing whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do, whatever he is calling you to do. And if your standard is set on someone who just can't get things together, someone who's really struggling in their life, you'll never grow, because you keep looking back. You keep looking back and saying, at least I'm fine where I'm at. But if your standard is set on God, you will always be growing deeper in depth and in relationship with Jesus Christ. And that should be our goal. Jesus is our everything. We sing that in our songs all the time. You know, we have that Phil Wickham song, Jesus, you're my everything, my heart beats for you. We sing it all the time. But we need to start living that. We need to start living that out. Because just words, like a tree that bears fruit, if we just say that Jesus is our everything, but we're not producing the fruit to show it, we're not having those good actions to show it, then we would look and say, and Jesus said himself, he would look and say, are you truly a Christian? John said, have you truly experienced God? If you're not imitating what is good, and you're imitating what is evil, doing whatever you need to do to be accepted, doing whatever you need to do to feel loved, doing whatever you need to do to feel passionate about something, if you're just imitating whatever comes our way, whether it's good or whether it's evil, John would ask, God would ask, have you truly experienced God? Have you truly met him? Have you truly submitted your life to him? And so this is a serious thing. It's light in that it should be encouraging, but it is serious in that if you're not giving God every aspect of your life, if you're not seeking to imitate him, imitate God, imitate Jesus, then you have to ask the question, has my life really been changed? Have I really gone from that tree that bears evil fruit to that Christian tree that bears good fruit? And this is an important question to ask ourselves. And you probably won't have an answer in this moment. Something that as you go home and as you spend time at school this week, spend time doing homework, spend time hanging out with friends, and spend time playing Minecraft and watching movies and eating ice cream and all that good stuff. It's something that you need to ask yourself. Am I focused on Jesus? Am I passionate about God, passionate about his word? And is God truly my standard? Or am I setting on someone behind me? Or have I set it on someone ahead of me when it really truly should be God? So let's pray as we come to a close and just ask God to really like solidify this in our hearts, because it is a big thing. It is something hard to wrestle with. Lord, we ask that you would, by your Spirit, Lord, by your power, that you would reveal to us any aspect of our lives that have not been submitted to you, Lord, whether it's our focus, our passion, our standard, Lord, and we want to submit it afresh to you, Lord. If we've submitted it before and we've kind of gotten off target, Lord, we do it once again. And if we've never submitted that to you, Lord, we do it anew, Lord, knowing that when we are committed to you, when you are our passion, when you are the fuel to our fire, Lord, that we can be taken to places that we would have never arrived at on our own, Lord. We can accomplish things that we would have never accomplished on our own, because you are much more powerful, much more gracious, and much more merciful than anything else in this world. So give us your patience to really look at ourselves in light of this teaching, to examine our life, examine the things that we focus on, examine the things we're passionate about, and make sure that you are the top of those, Lord, that you are our main focus, you are our main passion, Lord, and you are the highest standard in our lives. We want to know you more, Lord, we want to grow deeper in you, and we realize that there's always growth for that, Lord. Always growth for me, always growth for everybody in this room. So we want to grow deeper in love with you and deeper in our knowledge of you. And we pray that you would allow that to happen today. And we pray all of this in your name. And all of God's people said, amen. All right, guys. They should be out pretty soon, but if not, hang out until they're out.